Beverly Hills High, they get out anyway.
It's so pointless. That last day of school, nobody cares.
Kelly, relax. In 5 minutes, it will all be over, and you can start working on her career.
I can't wait. I am ready to have the summer of my life. How about you guys?
Oh, well, I'll settle for interesting.
Really? When has summer not been incredible?
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode is Season 2, Episode 1, Beach Blanket Brandon. And now, here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Tara. How are you?
Oh, I'm very well, ready to get into a whole new season of Beverly Hills 90210-iness.
Oh, yes. I am dead and loving it after the last season finale, but I would just like to compliment our fine co-host, Dave, on making this episode sound much more interesting than, spoiler, it's actually going to be.
What do you mean with the turn he put on Beach Blanket Brandon?
Yes, really. I was like, oh, I'd like to watch. Oh, right. I did watch this a few times.
Is it more like Wet Blanket Brandon?
Well, I mean, it always is, but yes.
Okay.
So just so people don't get too excited, this is not the summer of deception, though it is summer. It's the summer before the summer of deception. That so far is a summer of kind of boring, but let's get into it.
I can tell it's kind of boring because instead of about 25 clips, today we're just featuring 15 clips.
I know. It's a lot less than the norm.
It's so far a decent measure of the craziness of an episode is how many clips I see coming in. The episode.
Yes. So first things first, we get new opening credits because it's season two and we can see where things are headed in terms of people's importance because Brian Austin Green is featured in all the horseplay montage of everybody goofing around on the beach. Douglas Emerson has been busted down to guest starring.
Yep.
And there's also in the visual aids a gif of one of the weird moments that I, for some reason, even though I've watched these credits like 7 billion times, I've never noticed Dylan like nuzzling Donna in the hair in the opening credits.
I have always noticed that, and I just don't understand. Like, does she have a strip of bacon back there? What's the... Because that never...
No. I mean, there's in the next episode, there's hints that she might like things to start up with Dylan, kind of, but like it never ever goes anywhere, so that's very strange. Anyway, it is the last day of school as we pick up with the crew. Let's start with the B story, which is Brandon's job agony, more or less. But before we can get to that, we have to dispense with the matters that were raised in the season one finale that now they don't have to... I mean, they have to put a button on them because there was another season and whatever. So here's Brandon and Andrea talking through how things are going to be now that they didn't sleep together in clip number two.
And I wanted to clear things up between us before the summer starts.
Look, it's no big deal, Brandon.
It's no big deal that we almost became a couple. It's a little tough to just sweep under the rug, don't you think?
Look, Brandon, it was a moment that almost happened but didn't.
So where does that leave us?
As friends, I hope. I mean, who else can you make a total fool of yourself in front of, right?
You didn't.
Yeah, you did.
Have a great summer, huh?
Yeah. You too.
You take care of that vagina.
Neither of you is dying. Like, I don't get the tone of this.
And it's not college. Like, you live in the same town.
Yeah.
You've spent plenty of social time together off school before.
Yes.
And you didn't almost become a couple. And that whole thing is so weird because it's like he's obviously not attracted to her, but he considered boning her anyway.
Yeah.
I'm still not past that.
No. And it's the other thing that bugs me, and it's the same thing that bugged me in the spring dance episode, was that, like, if you like him, make it known she did. And so if you still want to start something up with him, which she clearly still does, like, don't be all like, well, it didn't matter, blah, blah, blah. Like, sack up and be honest about what you want, because maybe he wants it too. If you just pushed him, it worked last time. But whatever. Yeah. Anyway. Clearly, we know in the fullness of time, nothing ever started up between the two of them. So all of this is even more frustrating when you know it's going absolutely nowhere. Anyway,
and we'll be continuing to go there at zero pace for years.
For literally two more seasons. Like, really, until they go to college, that's when they finally stop, like, teasing that maybe something is going to start up between them. Spoiler alert. Anyway, Brandon, we next see him at the Peach Pit where he's complaining to Nat that tips are down. And he's like, yep, that's what happens in the summer. Like, what? People don't go to diners in the summer. People don't eat french fries and milkshakes. Okay. And then Steve comes by really over celebrating, which you could also see that in GIF form in the visual aids. Please do. Basically to preach his gospel of irresponsibility to Brandon in clip number 3.
You should bail out of here early. That'll let you go.
Yeah, I know, but I need the money. It's the only way I'll be able to get myself into a new set of wheels.
Oh, you definitely need a new set of wheels.
Yeah, I know. Oh, man, I found this car around the corner at the garage. Mechanic's been working on it all year. It's a 65 Mustang convertible. It's pristine. It's got my name written all over it. He told me he'd hold it for me till the end of the summer. I just stumped and scraped together the cash.
Well, you need a more lucrative job.
Nah, tell me about it. Lucrative? I think I made more lifeguarding at the community pool last summer in Minnesota.
You were a lifeguard?
Yeah, don't act so surprised.
Well, I'm not, but Brandon, you should try and get a job at the Beverly Hills Beach Club. They pay big money down there, and the fringe benefits are awesome.
Sounds great. Trust me, it is. But how would I bail on that?
That will survive. Come on, Brandon, it's time to start thinking about yourself for once.
Yeah, give that a try. See how that works out for once.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Okay, the first problem with this whole plot line slash location really is that Beverly Hills is landlocked. There is no Beverly Hills Beach. I'm sure there are shishi like beach clubs at like on in this part of Southern California, but like that's not really a thing. So I don't, you know, that whole thing is stupid. And the idea that everyone from school would all join the same one. Like, I understand for story expeditiousness reasons why they had to do it, but it's dumb. And, by the way, all of California's private beaches are state parks. So also all of this business about how exclusive they are is nonsense too.
Is that true? There's no private shoreline?
Nope. That's my understanding. That's why all the dicks that live in Malibu go to all those like extremes to make it look like there's no way to get through their property to
like
the beach.
Stormy D-Day on their beach.
or their walls or whatever, right. But like they're not supposed
that
to.
Makes sense.
You can get fined, yeah, I believe.
Wow. This is already so much more interesting than this subplot, except for the moment where Brandon is at lifeguard tryouts standing next to not just one, but like 8 dudes who are literally 2 feet taller than he is.
Yeah, someone really had fun blocking that. There's a GIF of that as well in the video, in the visual aids. And then it's just a lot of montage of Brandon at the tryouts. He has to immediately say he has no ocean rescue experience. So already he's not qualified for this job. But he sucks at every part of it. Like, can't run on the beach, can't swim. Everyone beats him back to shore, including the one girl that's in this, like, this pod of trier outers for the lifeguard job. So Henry Thomas, who's played by the great James Pickens Jr. currently of Grey's Anatomy, obviously can tell that Brandon is not suited for this job, but instead offers him a job as a cabana boy to start tomorrow. Brandon is all in a swivet about this because he wants to give Nat 2 weeks notice. There are two thanks for the opportunities and handshakes in this one scene. Like, tighten it up, writers. Jesus Christ, I know it's boring, but come on.
Well, and also, it's a summer beach club job. He's not interning at the White House.
Yes.
Yet.
So Brandon just assumes he can get Brenda to cover for him, and then when he goes to quit on Nat, Nat assumes that he wants a raise. It's awkward. This scene takes forever. I didn't bother clipping any of it because
And there's so much silent movie like, oh, Brandon, you gotta give me Tony Danza.
Completely. And at one point Nat says, I can't run this place by myself. Like, you shouldn't be making the anchor of your entire operation this high school child. But anyway,
Brandon... Especially not this one. I mean, even Lavoine would be a better bet as a co-manager. But haven't you run this business for a pretty long time? And then your dad ran it before you? But all of a sudden, Brandon doesn't give you 2 weeks' notice and you act like training his replacement. Like, you're not driving a sub. You're running a fryer.
Not even. He's taking stuff from the fryer to customers. Like, I know waitering is hard. Thank God I never had to do it, but it's not that hard. Like, people can learn to do it. It's why it's...
It's hard, but everybody can do it.
Yes. It's hard to learn,
you
but it's
expendable.
Not...
expendable.
Right. Yes. So...
No height requirement, apparently.
Exactly. There's also a scene where Brandon runs into Dylan at the beach club, and Dylan guilts him about quitting the peach pit on no notice, and Brandon brays at him because it's what he does. And then we're back with Henry. We find out my favorite thing about his character, which is that he's hardcore into The Young and the Restless. And he's watching an episode when Brandon comes in and asks if he can actually at least have a week before he has to start. And we hear that in clip number 4.
Oh, before I forget, there's your uniform.
Thanks. But I don't think I'm going to be able to wear it for about a week.
Why, are you expecting a growth spurt?
No, it's...
Hope so.
Just I can't dump on my former employer like this. I mean, I can't understand why you'd want somebody like that working for you anyway. Someone of such little integrity.
Oh, God!
See, the bottom line is, Mr. Thomas, I'll promise to give this job my all if you'll just allow me to give Nat the courtesy of a week's notice.
Who is this Nat?
Really great guy. See, I'd never leave you without giving you some notice. I gotta do the right thing.
Jesus.
Mr. Walsh, you better be worth waiting for.
Nope.
Nope.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Is this private beach thing the same one he's working in?
The next summer?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is this the
it's
same
the same
guy?
Boss. Yep.
Okay.
Except in between seasons, the
and the only reason I know this is because the first time Sarah came on Extra Hot Great Mark 1, when she wasn't one of the hosts, is she submitted that future episode for the canon, right?
Yes.
So I'm thinking
from season 3. Yeah, yeah. The one where he's dating the blonde girl who's racist.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you. I just wanted to place myself in this.
Yeah. And also just a fun note of trivia, which we'll get to it when we get to it. But what also happened in between the two seasons is obviously Henry only works at the beach club during the summertime, and in the rest of the time he had a store, but the LA riots happened between those two seasons, so there had to be a whole thing about how his store got ruined in the riots, blah blah blah.
Nate reading was very 1980s, like Dolph Lundgren. The Nat reading was very 80s Dolph Lundgren reading. Yeah.
Henry is,
I must Nat. Crush him.
The best. Henry's so great. He's obviously way too good for this show.
You come in peace, you leave in pieces.
So Brandon, having convinced Henry of his overwhelming honorableness, goes back to the Peach Pit in triumph to tell Nat the great news that he doesn't have to leave him in the lurch. And Nat's like, fuck off, I don't care. No, he's nice about it, but he's like, it's fine, I covered it. It's no big deal. So then you would think there would be a whole thing about what Brandon's going to do with his free week off. But that never happens. Doesn't come up again so that we can have that extra long scene of Nat and Brandon staring at each other being sad. Moving on to the A plot. Will recall from the season 1 finale, Brenda had just told Dylan that she is late. So this is going to be our concern for the A plot of this episode. But first, play clip number 5.
Kelly, you should work on getting your voice back.
Thank you for the terrible ADR, Tori Spelling, to explain off-screen why Jenny Garth's voice is shot in this whole episode. Because, anyway.
I didn't even understand that.
Yeah.
She sounded normal to me.
You could sort of hear it in the top. I mean, you'll hear it in these clips that are still to come, but in the intro clip, it's a little bit scratchy.
Okay.
Anywho's, Kelly is very excited about starting her summer, but Brenda has to throw a cold shower on everything with her scary news in clip number 6.
So generally, I spend my mornings in the sun and my afternoons playing volleyball, which is totally cool because you get a great tan and a great workout all at the same time. Plus, it's co-ed and you meet the most gorgeous guys. Now, doesn't that sound better than hanging out in some acting class?
Yeah, well, I have to get my credit.
And I love acting.
Yeah, but you guys are totally deserting me. Besides, what cute guy is going to take an acting class?
Callie, can't you ever stop thinking about guys for 1 second? I mean, there is more to life.
Sounds like it's that time of the month.
Well, it is. And it isn't, if you know what I mean.
What are you talking about?
I'm 5 days late.
Oh, my God.
Late for what?
I mean, I don't want to get too personal, but like when I was a teenager, 5 days was not that late. I don't realize why this is such a huge crisis.
I don't either. This is one of the things that we actually learned in health class was like, until you're like 18, mm-hmm. it's all over the fucking place. Yeah. Mine certainly was.
She's not on the pill.
What are you talking about?
Nothing.
Kittens.
Shopping.
Shopping.
Yeah. So everyone is horrified. They go to the drugstore, which I'm pretty sure when you see it, that it's that CVS, now a CVS, the one that's right by the Beverly Center.
Oh, the Beverly Connection?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The scary nighttime, the scariest.
Oh, I thought it was the same drugstore that Denzel Washington gets hit on in Philadelphia, which probably not, but...
No, I think they actually shot that movie in Philadelphia for
real. If it's that drugstore,
oh, okay.
It's the scariest drugstore in the safest neighborhood combination.
If you, it's open 24 hours, but don't go after 9, because scary people hang out in it. It's really big, that's and there's lots of corners where people can hide and be inside.
Like, you could turn any corner, and there you would expect maybe to see a pile of human excrement. Yeah. You know, like, you just never know.
Los Angelinos, you know the one we're talking about. It's currently a CVS, used to be a Rexall, right across the street from the Beverly Center.
Yeah.
On Melrose? No.
No, it's at La Cienega.
On Beverly and La Cienega.
Yeah.
If I'm right, and which I may not be.
One to grow on.
Anyway, while they're there buying a pregnancy test for Brenda, Donna has to speak up for abstinence because now this is part of her character all of a sudden.
Yeah, okay.
They take the test and it's supposed to be red or blue. Of course it's green because comedy, that never doesn't happen when anyone takes a pregnancy test on a TV show. Brenda's talks about how she's not sure sleeping with Dylan was worth it, which is probably a sign that it wasn't. She then goes on to have a gynecologist talk with Cindy, which I don't know why this is even happening, because when she had her breast cancer scare, she started seeing Dr. Donner. So wouldn't Dr. Donner be a gynecologist if she was dealing with her breasts? I don't know.
I don't either.
She tells Dylan, he takes it, I have to say, and to his credit, about as well as one would hope under the circumstances, given that he's, you know, 16 or 17. And then Kelly sets Brenda up with her gynecologist. They both go and check out the exam room in their twin, extremely high jeans. You can see them in the visual aids. And then Brenda goes to take, give them a urine sample. And while she's there, obviously gets her period. So she tells the doctor, blah, blah, blah. And then she comes out and gives everyone the good news in an awkward clip number 7.
How'd it go?
Everything okay?
Yeah, everything's fine. What did he say?
Can we just go now?
No, it was a total false alarm, right?
Yes, totally.
Yes. while we're here, do you think maybe it'd be a good idea if you would see about the doctor putting you on the pill?
You think it's that easy, don't you, Dylan? I just pop a pill and then you don't have to worry about anything?
Oh, I was thinking about you.
No.
You love pills.
You were thinking about yourself.
I don't get it. What did I do?
You're just being a total guy.
Nice music. It's so aggressive.
Yeah, it's very weird.
Do you
weird.
Know the way to San Jose? Anyone?
It's weirdly tinny for a Beverly Hills doctor's office, which would probably be quite fancy in my experience. But yeah, in Dylan's defense, if you're going to be having sex with someone, go on the pill, like do something anyway.
And it actually is that easy.
Yep.
It's a pill. You take it at the same time every day. How mm-hmm. much easier do you want it?
However, someone on our forums posted that apparently the reason this storyline came out of nowhere is that after Brenda and Dylan had sex and it was fine and Brenda was happy, Fox got a lot of angry letters from people that were upset that there were no consequences for this girl having sex, even though nothing like that obviously happened when Brandon had sex with his girlfriend.
Now she has to go to the doctor.
So that's why there had to be this fallout. There's more than this, Dave.
Okay.
There's more to come.
The trials and tribulations of a girl having sex.
Yes. So
not for long.
Well, so Brenda is upset, and she and Brandon briefly discuss it in clip number 8.
Brenda, you been crying?
No.
Come on, Brenda, I know when you're upset, your cheeks get flushed.
Gross. Stop being twin-cesty, rather. Anyway, they're either way. Ugh. Either way.
Yuck.
The conversation goes on in clip number 9.
You know how things seem really important, and you go out and do them, and then you can't even remember what you got so worked up about?
No, no one knows what you're talking about.
Yeah. Especially not him.
Shopping.
Go back. That was the middle of a clip.
No, that was it.
Oh, yes, it is that. That is it.
Yeah, I was just filling the awkward silence.
I apologize. I thought there was more because I stopped it after, because no one knows what she's talking about. But then she explains, sorry, in clip number 10.
Well, I always thought that I wanted a really cool boyfriend. And to not be one of the last people to have sex. Well, I have a cool boyfriend and we've had sex. And God knows I'm not the last. In fact, I'm beginning to wonder if I'm one of the first. And
what?
And up until a couple of hours ago, I thought that maybe I was pregnant.
Brenda.
I'm not, of course, otherwise I wouldn't be so calm. I guess I just overreacted.
No, not at all. I understand how you feel. Sort of. Oh, not really.
Everybody talks about sex like it's no big deal. And it is a big deal.
Hey, that's all right. Come here. It's okay. Ugh. It's okay, you're okay.
I know, it's just changed things, that's all.
Do Mom and Dad know anything about this?
Are you kidding? They would freak out. Brandon, promise me that you won't tell them.
Are you sure? I think they could handle it.
Brandon, please.
Okay. I promise.
I have a notion, which is this. You shouldn't be able to use a variation on your show's theme all willy-nilly. This is like the second time in this episode I've heard this piece of music.
And also very loud birds chirping. I think it's at night, but there are definitely birds tweeting. Anyway, continue.
It was at night. Okay, it's all, all the owls. Saw those BH owls.
Yeah.
That's it. It just bothers me when it's kind of a lazy thing. You really have to save it for a big moment.
Yeah.
And that's not, you know what I mean? Like, it's got to be a finale thing or something.
Mm-hmm. And then just combine it with the racist music cue so you kill two tweeting night birds with one stone.
All right.
Yeah. So Brandon's finally in the know, but even though he promises not to tell good old Jim and Cindy, he doesn't need to because Brenda is super bad at covering her tracks, and Cindy is sorting the garbage into the recycling and finds the remains of Brenda's pregnancy test. And it leads to this blowout in clip 11.
Well, did you do something that would give you reason to believe that if you were a few days late, that... that would indicate that you were pregnant?
Oh, Jesus, Jim.
You mean like sex?
Yes, something like that.
Yes, of course.
Well, how long has this been going on?
Brenda, having sex means making a very serious commitment, and at your age...
It's a big responsibility, Brenda, and I just wish that you had discussed it with us first.
Or if you didn't feel comfortable with me, at least with your mother.
All right.
And if not with your mother, at least with your brother.
Is that who
the
you're doing
it
with? Your brother?
Weeks ago with Dylan.
Where?
In the hotel.
In my vagina.
I mean, are you guys happy now that you know everything?
Brenda, I warned you about him.
Him?
Dad, don't blame this on Dylan. It was something that we both wanted to do.
I see. As two consenting teenagers?
Yes.
Oh.
This is classic Jim Walsh. I kind of love him for being so him in this scene, starting with, did you do something that would make you think you were pregnant? Like, I think at age 16, she probably understands how pregnancy happens, dude.
It's just so agonizing. Like, not that you have a right to the information, really, but just ask her what you want to ask her.
Yeah.
Don't drag it out. You're not getting the answer you want either way.
Right. This is...
Your cat agrees.
Yes. Hi. Mabel concurs. Hi, everyone.
Here's so, they move on from this, and then something super awkward happens in clip 12.
That must be Dylan wants to go out with him tonight.
Good. I want to talk to him, too.
Don't you dare.
Jim!
Dad, you're not his father.
Brenda is right.
I'll kill myself if you say one word. I don't want him to know that you know.
Hey, Brent. How are you?
She's still holding the box.
Hi. Brent, what do you have that box in your hand?
Hi, Dylan. Don't stay out too late.
I swear to God, we won't.
Nice line delivery there.
Yes, that was a very funny moment. But yes, super duper awkward. It's hilarious that she comes to the door still holding the box, like... All right, now it's all out in the open. So while Jim is at home telling Cindy he's embarrassed that he reacted in exactly the same way his father would under the same circumstances, Brenda and Dylan are parked by the beach, but she is not interested in making out, and we find out why in clip 13.
Do you know how lucky I feel that I met someone like you?
You're lucky too.
When we first started going out, I thought you were so sexy. It was so exciting how we flirted and everybody looked at us. And then I fell in love with you.
And I fell in love with you.
And I trusted you enough to have sex when I've said no before.
I know. What are you saying?
Seriously?
I just feel like we've crossed this imaginary line. It all feels too much right now, worrying about condoms and birth control pills and seeing a gynecologist and getting pregnant and what my parents are thinking.
Is it getting too scary?
I just don't know what we're about. Like, things are happening too much too fast. I think we need to stop seeing each other, at least for a while.
Bren, you're overreacting. Stop worrying about what your parents think and figure out what you feel.
I have. I know what I'm feeling.
No, you don't. Everything you told me so far only adds up to one thing. You're afraid. It's not enough of a reason.
Dylan, I do know what I'm feeling. And I need to break up with you.
No.
First of all, I believe, and someone can correct me if they remember better, but I think that originally was set to Losing My Religion.
Yeah, because she listens to it obsessively throughout their down times whenever they occur. So,
right.
Pretty sure. And the stuff they put in instead is, like, really intrusive and you could barely hear them.
So was the music never on a home? Like, wasn't even on, like, VHS?
I don't know, because I don't think I ever watched the VHS.
I guess it would be the same, you know, reasoning, right? It would be
yeah,
the same
but I
legal
think,
argument.
Yes, but I think when you used to watch it in syndication, it would be the real songs. That's
yeah,
that's
I feel
what
like
I
it
recall.
Was cleared for on SoapNet when I used to watch them there.
Yeah,
not
but
anymore.
I think in the olden days, that's why Freaks and Geeks took a million years to come out on
right.
DVD, is but like they would clear the songs for
but
syndication,
no,
but not for home
no,
video because
like,
that wasn't a thing.
There's no VHS copy
of
floating
the
up there where you can see what all the music was.
I don't know. Someone would have to tell me. I don't think that, like, this is from way before the era when you could buy seasons of TV shows on VHS.
Yeah. I was just curious if there was, like, a, you know, shitty canonical version floating out there. But
I'm sure somebody's home tapes have them.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, like ones that they actually taped but themselves.
Nobody's torn to them or anything. Not that I know of.
Okay. So yeah, knowing that the reason for this whole breakup is because of angry letters makes so much more sense, because what teenage girl ever broke up with her boyfriend because she liked him too much? Like, otherwise it makes no sense.
Or because she wasn't pregnant.
Right.
Okay.
Just that one girl from the X-Files who kills everybody when she touches them. That's it.
Oh, yeah.
So this, now that this is done, Brenda can go home and the next morning interrupt her parents waking up in the morning with a pompous announcement in clip 14.
Mom, Dad.
Hi, honey.
I have an announcement to make.
What is it?
Dylan and I broke up last night.
Oh, honey, you didn't have to break up with Dylan.
That's not what we were saying.
I know that. It's just that honestly, things have gotten more serious than I really wanted. I guess at the moment, I'm just not ready for a sexual relationship.
Well, given that you're wearing a silk shorts suit to announce to your parents that you are foregoing your slam piece, I'd say you're correct. You're not ready for any human relationships. Have a seat.
Also, welcome the third theme variation we've heard.
Yeah. But I love that, like, I have an announcement to make. I just wasn't ready for a sexual relationship. Like, she's reading it like she's a hostage or something. It's so stilted and weird. Which I guess she was. But then she calls Kelly. We get to see Kelly in her car on her Motorola flip phone. Classic.
Yeah.
And then we get to see Brenda and Donna starting their drama class at summer school. Because even though the last day of school was yesterday, summer school is starting immediately. David is also in their class, and so is Andrea. And so is Andrea's polka-dotted overall jumpsuit. I don't know for a fact that they're stirrup pants, but I would bet you a dollar they are.
No bet.
And their teacher comes in. He's new and I guess cute. It's that guy. Oh God, what is his name? Something Gerard.
Michael St. Gerard.
Thank you. Who played the young Elvis in that big mini series in the late 80s.
I was hoping for a second it was going to be Buck Rogers.
No.
Gil Gerard.
His name is Mr. Suter. He gives an endless monologue about himself, like anyone cares, and makes Brenda go up first, which is how she announces to the class that she and Dylan broke up. Once again, everyone in class, like, it's the fucking middle of the dance floor circle, dicks, making us care about their stupid business. Then we go to the beach club where there's so much B-roll, and if you like any one shot of it, that's good, because they're in every single episode at the beach club. They reuse so much of this beach B-roll, it's crazy. Like the shot
of
some
of it is even reused from the credits.
From the credits.
Like that one girl in the hat just running. Like,
running to the volleyball court, yeah. But there's a shot of like two little girls playing in the sand, that's reused in the very next episode. One of like a woman catching a volleyball that rolled off the court, that's reused. Woman on a phone. Woman putting on suntan oil, to give you an idea of how long ago this was. Anyway, then Andrea gives her monologue about herself. It's completely self-aggrandizing, and of course. And after class, Dylan is there waiting for Brenda and standing in front of an anti-teen pregnancy poster, just in case you didn't get it. They have this conversation.
I'm feeling bad, Bren.
Me too.
So why are you doing it?
Dylan, I need some time.
You know, I thought if we ever broke up, I would feel this tremendous sense of relief. I could go back to being myself.
Thanks.
But something happened. I fell in love with you or something.
You're so
good. Stop being a loner.
Dylan, I think that's wonderful.
I think it's terrible. The only person in this world that I have to depend on is me. And I always have to remember it.
Dylan, that's not true. You can depend on me.
Oh, really?
Dylan, just because I need some time and a break doesn't mean that I still don't love you or that this isn't painful for me, too.
Well, maybe that's what they mean when they say love hurts.
You think?
Dylan, I got so close, it scared me. I don't want to be scared with you.
I know. we're meant to be together. Time will tell.
Gulp.
Can I take you home?
No. I think I should walk. Goodbye, Dylan.
This is going to go on for a while.
I'm just imagining they actually cut to a guy in a mountaintop playing the guitar.
With it's an eagle circling.
It's the Chris Pine character from Wet Hot American Summer on a roof.
Right in the middle of that when he says whatever that line delivery was. It was so Milhousian.
Yeah.
Is this one? Oh, now I know what it's like. The doves cry.
And this is followed like by a shot of her in the foreground standing at a 45-degree angle in the hall instead of just walking off.
Yeah.
And then he turns around to look at her, and there's like 15 focus pulls, and it's still going on somewhere in a parallel universe.
I did GIF it. You can see it in the visual aids and get a sense of how incredibly long it takes for the two of them to like end up at opposite ends of the school hallway. Again, makes so much more sense why the story ended the way it did if it's like the parents' television council essentially dictating the story. But still, super melodramatic, really makes the episode very repetitive and very boring.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's wrap it up. First, our most valuable player of the episode. Sarah, who's your pick?
I gotta go Henry.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Not only is he super salty and like by far the best actor on the show, like not just among all the adults, but just the best. Looks real good in his green beach club polo shirt tucked into white pants, if I may say.
Please do. Mm-hmm. I would.
Yeah, I would too. All right. Least valuable player.
Would you like to begin?
Brenda and Dylan for a tie. They're so ridiculous in this episode. I can't decide which of them is more annoying.
I can. It's Brenda.
Okay.
And it's not her fault. It's actually the writers, because like I get that they did this under pressure and it was a different time and blah, blah, blah. And I think now the writers would have told the PTC just to fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
But they could have written this breakup or like consequencing it in some way that didn't make it quite so unrealistic for, do you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
There was a way to do this and mm-hmm. they picked this way, which was completely insane. That she's like, I'm pushing you away because I'm scared. Like no teenage girl Mm-mm. has ever done that.
Nope.
Ever.
Nope. Never has. Never will. Makes no sense. And now yep. the Kim challenge.
Oh no.
Mad, bad, and dangerous to know.
5 reasons from this episode that Dylan proves he is mad, bad, and dangerous to know. The first one is obvious, but go ahead, Sarah. Why don't you start us off?
Could maybe get you pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Will drive you to the gynecologist wearing Zubas, those terrible pants he's wearing in the
those
waiting
are,
room.
Those will be in the visual aids.
Oh, they sure are.
Lingers around summer school with no real reason to be there except to give you guilt for feeling bad.
Embarrasses himself in front of your dad.
What else?
Might get you sandy by driving you to the beach to feel you up.
Or cause
sand in places.
Cause hearing damage by cranking the car radio really loud.
With a terrible, terrible song as well.
Yes. Well, that's it for another episode of Again With This. next time on Again With This, Brandon brays at father's literal and figurative, while Brenda something-something Elvis drama, who cares? I'm Sarah D. Bunting, and you can follow me on Twitter at Tomato Nation, our fine engineer Dave at Glark, and my able co-host Tara Ariano at Tara Ariano. See you next time.
And this is your Flash the Cash DJ, and you're listening to KWBH. See ya!